Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Tana Talk Soccer Podcast. In this episode, I will be discussing a kid who has returned to Manchester for the opposite side of the spectrum in the red side of Manchester, Jadon Sancho. Former Manchester City player, now Manchester United player. I will be joined by a caller later and we are going to analyze this deeply because it's just not as simple as you think. I'm going to give my simple opinion. Manchester United got a good player in Jadon Sancho. And on the surface, that can never be a bad thing. He's a good player. We can analyze the fee. We can analyze how good he is because I'm sure a lot of people are going to have contradictory opinions here. Some people are going to say, okay, Sancho is better than this guy. Sancho is this good. Sancho is that good. But I just believe if you know football, you will know Jadon Sancho is actually a really good footballer, irrespective of maybe if you think, oh, Sancho is 20% close to Mbappe. Sancho is 50% away from, I don't care. You get what I'm saying? These exact details, we're all going to disagree on these details. But I think what we can agree on is that he's actually a good player. And adding a good player to your squad is never a bad thing, okay? Now, Manchester United's track record of big signings, good players, big names in the past 7-8 years has been extremely poor. It has been extremely poor, actually. A lot of players have had moments, okay? Someone like Paul Pogba, for example, he's had his moments, but his consistency has been nowhere near that of a top player. Nowhere near that of a player who was bought for 89 million. Nowhere near the level of a player who was once the most expensive player in this world. Nowhere near the level of a player who was rated amongst the absolute best footballers on the planet. We've seen Alexis Sanchez. We've seen Radamel Falcao. We've seen Angel Di Maria. The list goes on, actually. The likes of Fred, Maguire, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka, the current guys at Manchester United, who all cost big bucks as well, and who also receive a lot of criticism, and who a lot of people don't even appreciate on all levels. These guys are actually some of the most successful big money signings Manchester United has made in the past decade or so. Think about it. This Fred, this Maguire, this Aaron Wan-Bissaka, that gets ticky a lot from fans or even opposition and stuff like that. These guys are actually some of the most successful big money signings that Manchester United has made in the past decade. And that just paints the full picture because I'm not even going to come here and praise these guys too much. Fred has had his shortcomings. Maguire has had his shortcomings. Everyone has had their shortcomings. But this is just to paint the picture as to how unsuccessful generally Manchester United has been with these signings. Because when you go all out for this kind of player, it has to bang. That is the aim. And once it doesn't bang, even though it's like not poor but average, then it's poor because you're bringing in a player of that price to have that world-class impact. You're bringing in a player of that price, of that magnitude, of that status to actually perform at the highest level, not just be average. So, of course, I'm going to discuss with Jadon Sancho. Is this going to be repeat or something else? Is Jadon Sancho just going to give us the same old tale of a Manchester United winger, a winger who prior to joining the club was doing well, was doing okay, and joins the club and can't find the back of the net to save his life? Is this what it's going to be with Jadon Sancho? And I am joined by Wisdom to discuss this. Okay, Wisdom, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Okay, so Manchester United spent big quid again on another footballer, this time around a winger. I think if I've been listening correctly to the cries of Manchester United fans, I think a winger is one of the things they wanted. So, yeah, a winger finally. So, what are your thoughts on this?
It's been a problem that, you know, we've been asking to be solved for so many years. I mean, that right winger crying out for a decent winger for so many years. The last time we probably had someone that looked like an actual winger was Di Maria, I think. And then, you know, since then we've been using different people who are not actually wingers on that wing. We've been using the likes of Mata, who is not really a winger. We've been using the likes of even Lingard at some point. You know, we had Lingard playing at the on the right wing at some point. So it's been a lot of chopping and changing. But yeah, finally they've got someone that, you know, my United fans have been crying out for since last season. So yeah, I think I don't know any Man United fan that is actually excited about signing at long last. I've not seen any one of us that is actually excited. So I think it's a good sign.
Okay, so now there's a big elephant in the room, and that elephant is not Sancho's ability, but it is Manchester United's ability to actually get these good players, these big players, these big name players, big money players, to perform when they come to the club. It's been same old. Like, if you look at Manchester United now, I said earlier that the players like Maguire, Fred, Erwan Bissaka, these players who actually receive a lot of stick, like, to be fair, like, I don't think they've done badly, if I'm being honest, but like, they are always in the spotlight, Harry Maguire especially, Fred as well, you get. Like, they are always, like, mixed reactions from their performances. Maybe today is like, okay, all love. Tomorrow is like, this guy is crap, this guy is rubbish, you know? And it's crazy that these guys, if you actually think about it, these are some of Manchester United's most successful big money signings in the past decade. Like, who? Like, if you think about it, big name, big money signings. Maguire, McTominay, oh my goodness. Maguire, Fred, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. You know?
Yeah.
And if you think about that, these guys haven't exactly been world class, or you get what I'm saying? Like,
In the case of.
Okay, go on.
Yeah?
Go on. In the case of who?
I wanted to say, like, in the case of Wan-Bissaka, I don't think it's been. Let's say Wan-Bissaka and Maguire now. I don't think the perception of people, or let me say the reaction and the criticism, have been the same level with the likes of Fred now. I think Wan-Bissaka, well, at least from my United fans anyway, let's block out rival no criticisms for now.
Okay.
Well, from my United fans, I think, you know, Wan-Bissaka, apart from the fact that, okay, yes, we've been crying out that, okay, he needs some competition, because we know he's actually deficient when it comes to the attacking side, I know, but
extremely,
I think generally
you forgot
that,
extremely.
Okay, we actually have one of the best defensive, you know, right fullbacks, you know, in the world. And
yeah, he is.
Generally, we are
one of the best tacklers
about it.
Yeah, in the game, one of the best tacklers. Yeah, one on one tackle.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so like,
I get your point anyway about the big money signings.
So how do you feel about this? Like, you know, like football, like we're a bit superstitious, to be honest. Like, I go into a season feeling Manchester United won't succeed, or like when Manchester United go on like these good runs, these only unbeaten runs that he always goes on.
Come back, wow.
Yeah, I just know that he'll come back now, and it's not because, like, to be fair, it's not because in that period they're not playing fantastic football. Actually, like, since Ole has taken over, there are a lot of periods where, to be fair, they've almost been like playing the best football in the world, maybe, you know. like it's so free flowing sometimes. Manchester United is scoring four. You know, you got those spells where they go on like nice runs. But I always know like it's going to end. They're also going to have bad runs soon. Like it's just not going to translate to anything. And it's nothing really. There's no reason exactly. If I'm being honest, the team is playing well at that moment. And like, why should I expect to stop? But like, you know, that kind of thing. Where, because you've seen it before.
Yeah, I understand.
So with Sancho.
Fans also, I think most of us always expect, you know, that to happen eventually. Because I think we've just sort of developed that doubt, you know, over the years. Because Chalice is only took over anyway with our disappointment in the semi-finals. You know, when it actually comes down to it, you know, those players fail to they fail to go all the way. You know,
so with Sancho, how will it be? That's the point of this, because as I referred in the past, I saw the likes of someone like Paul Pogba, for example. Now he's another player who massively divides opinion. I'm a big Paul Pogba fan, like big. Anyone who listens to my platform knows that. But if I'm being honest, if I'm rating Paul Pogba, he's just another, what should I say, very talented guy, but he has just not been consistent enough. And consistency is just what makes you world-class, not ability. Like, world-class means you're very talented and you show this talent on a consistent basis. Paul Pogba has absolutely failed to do this. Has he had good moments? Of course, absolutely. But like, he has just not been a consistent player for Manchester United. This was a guy who was amongst the best, I'm not just going to say midfielders, rated amongst the best footballers in the world. World record signing. This was a guy whose potential was so big. You had all-time great midfielders. And myself included, feeling Paul Pogba will be an all-time great midfielder. I went to battles for Paul Pogba. I said he will do way better than Neymar. I said these things. And I'm not shy to say them that I said it. Because that's actually how talented I see Pogba. Like, he's absolutely gifted. So good. So, like, he has done nowhere near, like, not even close to what he could do. We've even seen worse. We've seen Alexis Sanchez, we've seen Falcao, we've seen so many players who has just been like, it's just been horrid, like absolutely horrid. So is this like, what do you feel the case would be with Sancho? Another big money signing, you know, this time no piano video though, but like, so what do you feel? is it going to be finally a big money signing that actually is going to be a Bruno Fernandes? That is big money signing. You come in and you perform on a top level consistently, like you're meant to do.
Okay, so personally, I think with Sancho, it's going to be a more of something that we get to enjoy on the long term. But do you understand? Because despite his ability, I mean, everyone knows how talented the guy is. Despite his abilities, one thing we should not forget is that this guy is still 21 years old. Do you understand?
It's crazy, actually.
Yes, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, he's just 21. He's had about 3 seasons where he's gone double figure goals and assists. I think just last season he did get double figure goals. He got about 8 goals there. So,
you mean in the league, right? Despite, not all competitions.
Yeah, in the league.
Okay, because all competitions he got double figure goals and assists.
Yeah, I was talking about in the league. I'm sure.
Okay.
So, I mean, when you look at all that, you might tend to forget that this guy is 21. You start looking at him like, okay, this guy's already a finished product, or you get, because of the numbers are actually ridiculously good. But personally, mainly because of all these things you mentioned, because of our track record, you know, with these big money signings, especially the likes of Mkhitaryan now that we got from Dortmund. Also, do you understand?
Mkhitaryan was a good player. Dortmund,
off the back of a very ridiculous season where he had the highest assist in Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
Best number 10 on the planet that season.
At that time, so, you know, I'm trying to manage my expectations, actually. But I think on the long run, you know, he might not hit the ground running. And when I say might not hit the ground running, I'm not saying maybe he would flop or he would not, you know, do very well. I think he would do very well. I just think he's going to have a drop off. Or he's not going to reproduce the same numbers as he did in Bundesliga. Do you understand? And generally, you know, when you're not able to match up to your previous record,
there'll be criticism.
Or be falling off. Yeah. But I think he's going to do well. But I don't think he will be able to reproduce those Bundesliga numbers right away. And, you know, there are a lot of factors for that. Firstly, it's I would say what people call Bundesliga tax. And I'm not going to put that in a derogatory way, but...
Yeah. But I just
the way they played football there is different.
Okay.
I saw one. There was one analysis.
Calm down. This is just like saying, if not for the fact that you were older than me, I would have said you were stupid. that kind of statement, saying I don't want to be derogatory, but then you're going ahead to say something derogatory. I just thought the viewers should know that.
It's not derogatory, actually. I just use that derogatory term, but I don't mean it in
once,
the way people.
I know, but once someone gives a disclaimer, you know they are going right ahead to do that
the
thing.
The end always comes, but
yeah, like.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
Okay, but go on.
Anyway, like I said, I saw one analysis of various top five leagues. I think that was 2 seasons ago, and it was just like, I think the person that made that analysis was trying to dispel the myth that Premier League fans say when they say the Premier League has the highest intensity, you know, the highest pressing, highest physical football, you get that kind of thing. So he made the analysis. I can't remember, I can't say or recall the factors or the variables that he used now, but the summary of the analysis was basically that I think the highest pressing and the highest intensity came from the Bundesliga.
Of course, the Germans.
So basically, they played a very high line. Most of the teams played a very high line because of their high pressing. So, you know, it gives more space for attackers to do their stuff. You know, it gives more space for you to run in behind. So it was like the weakest top five league defensively in terms of defense. So I think I like to factor that into my expectations for Sancho. Yes, he has produced elite numbers over the years in the Bundesliga, but you know, I don't expect him to reproduce those same numbers. And I might be wrong though, because I was wrong in the case of Bruno. Bruno, I think, surprised me. I was trying to use that same logic for when Bruno came, saying he would not be able to reproduce his numbers, his insane, ridiculous goal scoring numbers.
Yeah, luckily for Bruno.
Yeah, but you know.
He got to play a lot of penalties, suppose.
And he was already playing penalties there also. So
I'm trolling.
You know, didn't expect him to reach to produce those numbers. So I might be wrong, but like I said, I'm trying to manage my expectations this time. So I don't think he will do bad at all. I think it's going to do well, more on the long run. So, but I'm really optimistic about it. I'm really optimistic. I have a good feeling about it.
As you said, crazy that he's only 21. And like the way football is right now, we're not treating young players like young players again. And it's very crazy. Now, this is, for me now, this is like the most important segment of this episode. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
As you said, he might not hit the ground running. And things like this happen a lot in football. And like not even only football, like sports in general. And right now, I'm not even finding the right football examples. But like in my head, I have like a lot of basketball examples. Like a player comes to a team, okay, like a superstar, for example, but like he's coming to a team, so like there are also other really good players there, so he's not maybe the primary ball handler or something like that.
Yeah.
So his statistics might drop, but with the way, like, he actually really elevates that team to be a championship caliber team, and it's
overall,
not like overall, and it's not like he's poorer, like it's just a change of maybe a change of roles. Like there are so many examples. I'll give you an example. Someone like Jorginho Wijnaldum now of Liverpool. Like this might just be a very vague one, but like all his career, he's played on the right hand side as a right winger, as a 10.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or the deepest he was playing was just like as a really advanced 8, actually, you know. Like he tore up the Eredivisie, proper goal scoring midfielder. Like, it's not just people, might be paying attention to him right now because of the Dutch matches in the past, let me say, 3 years. He's been just scoring goals almost every game or once every two games. Like, crazy ratio for any player, even a striker. But he has done this all his career, apart from when in Liverpool. And when he came to Liverpool, it just seemed like he took another role. Like, I remember the first game he played against Arsenal at the Emirates. In that DM role, and I'm like, why is Klopp playing this guy here? Because why I was excited why we planned Wijnaldum was like, this guy was blazing at Newcastle, running down like a blazing guy who was press resistant, could dribble, could score. So I was actually, that's why I was actually excited about the sign. And then he comes, but then the role was different and he really elevated our team. And I feel like I'm telling you now what it's meant to be when you're signing, when you're spending big money on a footballer like Jadon Sancho. Like, let's even forget like the stats and stuff like that. We fans will debate it. But in the dressing room, the coaches know. The thing is, at the end of the day, signing Jadon Sancho is yet another hefty investment made by Manchester United to become a championship contending side. Like a championship winning side, to be fair. Manchester United has made tons of these signings, and a lot of them have been bad, like bad investments. It kills me in my heart when I hear Manchester United fans actually complain about investments. To be fair, like, yes, you can complain, like, you can complain about maybe the wrong signings. But some fans on Twitter just talk about not spending. That is a lie. Manchester United spends loads and loads and loads.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when
money.
People say this thing, it's just
rubbish.
A normal fan reaction.
It's rubbish. And,
it's just a normal fan reaction.
We're not spending again. Blah blah blah.
Spending enough. That is
rubbish. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, all these things should just be leading towards Manchester United. Actually doing what they are meant to do already, because this team is actually good enough to compete. Like, that's just it's just like a lot of players in the squad underperform. Like, if you look at the squad on paper and these players before they came to the club, like, this is meant to be, like, since Mourinho's first season, actually, this is meant to be a Premier League contending side, and they failed to contend since then. So the big question is this. It's not even a question. Like, the expectation is, I have to tell you this, Sancho coming is yet another one again of this kind of players that has to take Manchester United to that level. So what do you think it's going to be? Now, this question is actually, I think, if you think about it, like, I'm just trying to guide you. Like, it's actually like more of a question directed at Ole, you know, like, with this Sancho signing, what will Manchester United be? Where would they be? What are the, I told you what the expectations are, or what the expectations should be. But what are your own expectations? You know, these are what the expectations should be, what I've said already. You know, this is a side spending an awful lot of cash, buying yet another world-class footballer. This is what the expectations should be. But now, what are your own expectations, actually? Or what do you demand? I want you. I want to know your expectations and then what you actually demand. Because your expectations can just be you. Like, your expectations can be too little, actually. Just, you know, wanting to hurt yourself as a fan. You know what I'm saying? So you just say, okay, another trophy last season. So expectations and demands.
We're assuming based on just intro alone, right? Let's say no other signings coming.
Yeah, okay, let's go with that,
Okay, so with just Sancho, I think the demands should be the same thing. Same thing we demanded last year, which is actually compete. Not just, you know, finish second and mouse off the first position. I think we should actually be able to give a proper push.
Yeah.
You understand, the proper push for the league title, the proper push, even if you are finishing third, but you know,
be in it, have a title race,
exactly. You know, till the end, it's not something where you already know that okay, this person, these people have already won the title, and you're just trying to secure second place or Champions League qualification or something like that. So, I think the proper push for the title and a trophy, you know, at very least. Not a major trophy, by the way. And I'll tell you why I don't expect a major trophy. I think if we are working off the assumption that we are just breaking standards, then, you know, we have not really fixed our most important problem.
Right now, is this your expectations or demand?
No, expectations.
Okay.
Expectations. Though. Okay. Expectations. Just my expectations. Proper push for the league title and just one trophy. Even if it's the FA Cup, not a major trophy. Now, when I say major trophy, I mean the Premier League Champions League.
Yeah.
So, any trophy now, I'm saying the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup. You understand? Just one of them. I think that's my expectation based on. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I think even without Sancho coming in, the squad we had last season was good enough to win one of those. You understand? So it's not a case of it's just. Because Sancho is coming in now, I think the squad we have has been good enough to win one of those small trophies. But you know, I don't blame Ole for it, or let's say I don't give him too much stick for it, because I can actually see the progress, you know, generally. And
yes, there's progress. There's progress that can't be denied.
So this season, my expectations, I think my expectations and demands are actually pretty similar. Proper push for the title and. You know, a trophy might not be a major one. I don't think the football gods will honestly allow us to win a major trophy with McTominay and Fred in midfield. I think it would be a slap in the face.
But
if you understand, they just like.
Don't you think, like, why do you think Ole really fancies them? Because it's clear he does. It's clear he does. So, sometimes you have to start seeing what the manager sees in certain players. Like, you get what I'm saying? Because if he persists on using them, so what does he see? What do you feel?
okay, see, the way I see it, I think it's just a case of what he has, Ba. Because we actually saw, if you remember, post-lockdown, last, even, okay, from the start of the Premier League season, the last season, he wasn't exactly using them so often. He was only deploying them in the big games, do you understand? In the games where he wanted to, like, you obviously knew what Ole was playing for. It wasn't interested in keeping possession, he just wanted to, you know, break your play down and hit you on the transition, but but you know, after restarting the Premier League, we had the Matic, Pogba, Bruno midfield that was really, really successful. You know, we started winning 4-0, 3-0 during that amazing run we had after the restart. So going into the next season, we thought that was going to be our first choice midfield as well, you know, because since it worked so well. And then I think the first game of this season, you know, there was no preseason anyway. We all know the circumstances we are going into this season. So I think the first game, we started with the same Matic, Pogba, Bruno, if I'm not mistaken. And that was where, you know, we didn't start the season well, if you remember. We had, we lost that first game. We won the next game, I think, very luckily against Brighton, if I'm not mistaken. Then we got battered by Tottenham at the beginning of the season, 6-1.
Yes.
Yeah, it was 6-1. And then from there, you know, that was when Pogba, he just recovered from COVID. So, you know, his performances were really poor at that time. And it was very obvious that he got rushed back in too early. And, you know, he had to just give him a break. So from there, Ole reverted back to Mark Fred. You understand? So I think it was just something born out of necessity more than anything, where in a bad, going through a bad spell, conceding too many goals, especially after this first game. So he just went back to that setup that, okay, it's more defensive and not really necessarily controlling the game, just more defensive. And, you know, we started using McTominay, Fred once again. Pogba started coming off the bench and then he got injured again. Then towards the end of the season, he didn't want to sacrifice that defensive solidity. So he ended up deploying Pogba on the wings. Do you understand? So, honestly, I think most times it's just been out of necessity to be honest, because I would like to think that Ole himself doesn't really enjoy it, but it's just something he has to do sometimes. Most fans sometimes we complain about it. He has to complain, but we know Matic is not the same person he used to be. And, you know, although I would like him to get more minutes maybe sometimes.
Yeah, like his Matic is actually not bad. He's actually a slick guy.
Yeah, he isn't at all, especially towards the end of the season. Some of those Europa games when he came on, he really did well. I mean, we saw that, okay, there's still a player in here, but it was just quite obvious that I think we preferred Mark Fred combination.
Okay.
So, like,
go on.
No, I wanted to just take it back to my point where I said I don't think we'll be able to win a major trophy with those two in midfield. And the reason why I said that is simple. With those two, you know, you don't get to really sustain attacks. You don't get to keep the ball enough to be able to keep sustaining attacks, because they are going to give it away. They excel more off the ball rather than on the ball. I mean, we all know that every Man United fan that watches them, we know that their usefulness comes when, you know, they are chasing the ball around, you know, trying to win the ball from the opponent. When you give them the ball to build something, to progress the ball, especially McTominay, when it comes to progression, they don't really excel. And a top team, you know, top teams have to keep the ball. They have to keep sustaining attacks. They don't just sit and wait to, you know, attack on the transition. That's just the way, over a long period of, in some certain games, it can be useful. But, you know, over a long a season where you play 50, 60 games, you can't just look to transition every time. If you want to actually win something tangible, you know, you have to be able to control most of your games, you know, build sustainable attacks, sustainable pressure, keep the ball. And those two just cannot do that. So I don't think we have a very high chance of winning a major trophy with those two in the midfield.
The number one Tana Talk Soccer Podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.